Wait a minute, what am I doing? Two men in a what? Two friends from film school, one who graduated, one who did, and they decided to make a podcast. Okay, this has never been done before, right? Okay. This is Matthew and Harrison's Two Men in a Movie. It's not what it sounds like.
There's this thing where, like, no one agrees on weight terms in porn, like, whatsoever. Like, no one, there's no concise understanding. Like, MILF, sure, woman over 25. That's a MILF in porn thing. I know, it's not great, but, because it gets annoying, because, like, if you want to find a MILF, you're like, this is, like, younger than me, and this sucks. This is not a MILF.
Yeah, correct.
When I type in MILF, I'm expecting an older, hot woman. Not true half the time. But, like, at least there's a concise definition I can be prepared for. When it comes to, like, weight, it's all over the place. Like, if you were to, like, look up thick woman, thick hottie, perhaps thick baddie, perhaps.
Uh-huh.
I swear to God, you would find everything from a woman with a healthy amount of weight to a woman who's going to die within the years.
Okay, so yeah, thick is a vague term, but what about something more specific like a BBW or something like that?
Even like, then, I feel like it variates too much, because I'd be like, BBW, find someone who's like, I would describe as, like, thick.
So what is your, like, why am I asking this? What is your definition of thick?
Thick, curvy, you know, thick. They got the booty. They got them thighs.
Okay.
I would say, clinically, thick is the level of extra weight society allows a woman before calling her fat. Like, I think that's what it, I don't like that term because I feel it's negative when you could describe it more positively, but I think that is the most clear clinical term.
See, I hear that, but then society in general calls very thin women fat.
We've been lately allowing more weight on women, which I think is a very good thing.
Yeah, people should be allowed to like weigh what they weigh or lose weight if they want to lose weight.
But like when you compare it to like the 90s of like the ideal hot woman compared to today's ideal hot woman, I think there's a much healthier level of weight to them as opposed to the more like super skinny Sports Illustrated stars.
Okay, but if you look at art outside of the last 50 years for all of history, like the most beautiful women were like
thick. Yeah, the ancients were wise.
But like, okay, so okay, but I've heard the term thick for like people who go to the gym and like are super toned but like have an like extra muscle mass around like their ass and their thighs and stuff.
Yeah, like gym thick.
That's a different thing.
You also got slim thick.
What is
slim
happening?
Thick is like thighs, ass, and tits,
but torso, waist is like thin.
Yeah, it's slim thick.
So like Mrs. Incredible from
Mrs. here? Incredible is the very definition of slim thick. Yes,
that's those proportions don't exist in real life.
I mean, not to that level, but you know, there are people who have that weight distribution. Like an Angela White's like thick. Do you know what Angela White looks like?
No, I'm looking it up right now. I don't know.
Instagram. Her Instagram does. I don't think it's pornography.
It's Angela White.
Angela White. She's Australian.
Oh, I've seen this person on comedians' podcasts, I think.
It makes sense. She does a lot of her own stuff.
Okay, so this figure to you is...
That's
slim thick, or is this
that's
thick?
That's an archetypal thickness right there.
Okay, I mean, okay.
It's extra weight, but it's still in the proportions that society likes, I suppose. It's still in the proportions that like are deemed attractive, you know?
Okay, so... This is not me being white knighty. This is me genuinely not understanding. In what world is this extra weight? Like, she's not rail thin, but like she's perfectly human proportion weight. Like,
yeah, you're right.
So this is defined as extra weight.
I mean, she's got a little bit of extra weight in more recent videos, but
okay. I mean, sure. I'm getting off Instagram. This is a hell site. But okay, so that's thick.
That's thick. Yeah.
Okay.
It's true thick. He got the ass and the tits too.
Okay, and slim thick is Mrs. Incredible.
Yeah.
So when.
I would say the thick is also like you kind of have an hourglass figure, but it's not like this is obviously a visual. medium, so you can all see what I'm doing here. What is this, like the what muscle group? What's the technical term for
like
this?
Your hip?
No, like right here.
Like your
side?
Rib? Waist?
Low, what's between the rib?
Torso?
And the hip. Is that torso?
Like, yeah, like yeah, waist.
Yeah, the hourglass isn't there so much as it is just there's like extra weight in your hips and stuff that gives that illusion. Welcome to the Two Men in a Movie podcast, where each week one man shows another man a movie he can't believe he hasn't seen. As always, I'm your easy slut of a host, Matthew Olenchek, joined as always by my wonderful work husband, the pious and pure Harrison Poole. How are you, babe?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, hon?
Fuck the cold, but...
I mean, sure, yeah.
And I'm still sweating too much, dude. I took off the comforter and put on just like a thin blanket. And I'm like, now I'll stop sweating so much. Obviously, no. No, I'm just sweating just as much as I did.
I'm sorry. That, yeah, listen, I've had bad sweat nights. They suck.
Every morning I wake up drenched.
I'm so sorry, dude.
Like, I am sweaty boy.
Is something going on, or has it always been this way?
It's always been that way. Yeah, I have the heat off and the fan running, and I'm still waking up drenched in fucking sweat.
I don't know. Are you eating right before bed?
Is that a thing that makes you sweat?
Yes, or at least for me, because my body is still digesting and, like, doing physical stuff while it's trying to sleep.
It happens for naps, too, so.
Okay.
Like, anytime I sleep, I wake up just drenched.
Interesting. Interesting.
And then, like, it's cold outside the bed, so I get up and I'm like, it's awful. Like, if I have the time, I'll just lay there and let the sweat dry. Because I stop sweating upon awakening. So I can leave without being instantly chilled.
So, one, you brought the movie, but I want to tell you the story. I may or may not cut it. This thing happened today.
I'm really excited.
So I'm on break at work, just eating at the table, and a random student reaches out his hand and like side around like he's trying to dap me up. And so my brain panics, and I'm like, oh no, this dude knows me and I don't know him. Play along, be cool. And so I like dap him up, and then he and his other friend who was standing to the side, I went, no, I was just reaching for the napkins.
Jesus Christ.
We have a real big laugh about it that ends with him legit dabbing me up.
See, yeah, I always force a handshake.
I sometimes do that. I don't know. It's a comfort thing.
It's my favorite fucking thing to do is when someone goes in for a dap to just aggressively shake their hand and say, pleased to meet you.
Okay. We all have our good bits.
Our mutual friend once spent like 2 minutes straight trying to get in there and trying to like avoid it. Can't. Just the firm handshakes coming in. Because I'm a sweaty guy and I feel like it's clammy if I do it like that.
It's okay.
Yeah, there's more. There's the wiping motion. I just find distasteful when I have clammy hands. Okay. Feels rude.
But it's 2 seconds max. A handshake lasts longer than 2 seconds.
Yeah, but I'm not like wiping it.
Okay, but you're just, like, letting the sweat fucking, like, soak in.
Nah, it stays on me because I'm wet.
Okay.
I'm not, like, leaving sweat wherever I go. It's mostly stationary on my body.
Speaking of wet, this movie is not wet.
made me.
This movie is made very... Made me wet. I mean, baby. Yeah. This movie is very, very dry.
Furiosa's mother.
She was on screen for like maybe 5 minutes and you fell in love with her?
Yeah, she's a gorgeous woman. Gorgeous woman who kills swaths of people like it's nothing.
See, this is the difference between you and I, and to go back to our previous conversation, because my immediate reaction is, but you don't know anything about her personality.
I know she is a warrior woman who cares for hers and cares for her own, and just murders people. Wonderful eyebrows, too.
Oh my gosh.
She got the toga going on. I love a woman in a toga. She has off all the best parts, the arms.
The shoulders.
I think society went backwards when we went away from the toga. Probably good I wasn't born in like Rome or Greece in the oldie times. I'd just be too horned up 24/7.
You would be so obnoxiously horny.
Out of control.
I don't know what you believe in past lives, but I imagine you in Greek and Roman times just like trying to sleep with everyone that moved.
Every woman. Every just woman. Screaming, I love women in the streets. So, becoming a sculptor just so I can sculpt women. It's a thought I've had.
So you would sculpt. I figured you would paint because it's closer to the collages.
No. I'd make really horny statues, I think.
So you would make little women and paint them like your Warhammer men?
Yeah, that'd be my hobby, though. My job would be making those, but big. For public display. Spend my entire days glorifying the female form and shoulders in particular.
Do we say what the movie was? You brought the movie.
I think. Did we say? It's Furiosa, Mad Max Saga.
Hell yeah, dude. This movie is great.
It's good. It's
Have
so
you
good.
Seen the list of Oscar noms that come out today?
Nah.
It's mostly disappointing.
I think the Oscars are dumb, so I don't follow.
No, me too. I just, this movie got no nominations, which is, in my opinion, one of the biggest snubs. Listen, I understand not Best Picture.
Yeah.
They're wrong, but I understand that. Like that thought process, but not even any of the technical categories, not for cinematography,
it didn't do well,
or visual effects,
it didn't do well, it's all or popularity editing complex,
or costuming,
didn't do well. I saw it in theaters, and the theaters were pretty empty.
I wish I saw this in theaters. I truly, before this podcast, I did not have, I watched a lot of movies, but I did not have a lot of theater time, and I still don't have a lot of theater time, but like this podcast is very good at like helping me catch up.
Better be Dune Part 2.
Dune Part 2 is nominated for Best Picture,
that's
right?
What I'm looking at the nominees. If Wicked wins, I will riot.
Why? Have you seen Wicked?
No, but I thought, just looking at the other movies, I'm like, I don't know. An adaptation of like a stage show. I don't know. I haven't seen it, but I know it's not better than either Dune Part 2 or The Brutalist, which I also haven't seen.
But you haven't seen it, so you don't know.
The Conclave. That's Wicked.
Okay. Have you seen the stage play?
I've watched like a recording of it.
That's close enough. Okay.
I listened to the songs.
That's about as far as... I haven't seen the movie either. I'm just not going to say that like... I don't think it's deserving or not deserving of whatever, because I don't know. I haven't seen the movie.
I speak with absolute truth. Always. And so I look at these other nominees and I'm like... I can pick out which movie... I have only seen one of these movies, and that's Dune Part 2. But looking at it, I can be like... this one should be nominated. This one shouldn't. I don't think The Substance should be nominated.
Why?
I read the entire plot summary of it.
Okay, and?
I just don't think it's a great plot. I don't think it's a good story.
But you haven't seen it.
Yeah, but I read the plot.
Not the same.
If you hand me a script, I can still tell you whether or not it's going to be good.
You can't, actually. The Wolf of Wall Street, I've read the script. It's a fucking mess, and that movie kind of rips.
If I read the Wolf of Wall Street script, I feel like I'd be able to be like, this would be a good movie.
I'm happy that you feel...
In film school, people would somehow, despite the I had the black sheepness, you know, they're constantly nailing me to the cross in the middle of Franklin Hall, people would bring me scripts to review, and I'd be like, this is a bad script or this is a good script, and I was never wrong when they finished the project.
I'm happy that you were correct on film in film school.
I have that instinct. Projects. I have that instinct. You know, that's an instinct some people have in the industry. Because someone looked at the Wolf of Wall Street script and said, this is going to be a good movie.
Or not even that it would be a good movie, but that it would make money and that it would, like... See, I don't even think... maybe when you're the level of Scorsese, maybe it matters. But, like, I don't even think on some level it's, this is a good movie. It's a, this is going to make money. Or in the case of... Furiosa, it's like the last one you made the last one for us, make this one too.
Oh yeah, he's only ever made those movies.
Huh?
I don't think anyone besides George Miller's made
No, but like 3,000 Years of Longing I have not seen, but it's the movie that came out in between these two. That was basically the like one for you, one for me type thing. Because I know Fury Road exists because he made Happy Feet 2.
You made Happy Feet 2?
Yes. Huh. He made both Happy Feet.
Okay. All right.
He did not want to make a sequel to Happy Feet. He had no idea. He made a quiet mess of a masterpiece. And then I don't remember how much money it made, but I know it was, I think it's a little bit of a drop off on the first one. I can actually look that up. But then it was like, well, we now have to let you make this.
And it was fantastic, as was Furiosa.
Yes, my one, the biggest flaw with this movie and my one real critique is that Fury Road exists.
Okay, yeah. I don't feel strongly about that opinion because it's not really, you know, it's just saying that he made other work that's better. And it's like, yeah.
But that it has to live in Fury Road's shadow. That, like, it is connected. When viewed in a vacuum, I think this shit rips. This is amazing. When viewed in the context of, because it is like a spinoff of Fury Road. It
took so long to get my mom to watch Fury Road. But then I took her and she loved it. And then we came home from the theater and she was Google imaging Tom Hardy and just looking at pictures of him.
Nice. Good for her. Is Fury Road is fantastic. It's a tough sell if you're not... You're either immediately bought in or it's a tough sell.
Yeah, as soon as I saw the trailer, I'm like, I'm in.
That's what I mean. It's, yeah, in many ways, I feel about the Fury Road trailer versus Fury Road trailer the same way I view the Scott Pilgrim trailer, in that you were either immediately bought in to, like, that movie, or you were never going to see that movie.
And yeah, Fury Road's trailer got me, too. And I was like, yeah. Yeah, I like how this one goes more into the world, too.
I agree.
It's a bit free from the grand epicness of it, so it allows us to marinate in the weird society that exists.
Yeah. This has the same problem Prince of Darkness and In the Mouth of Madness have, which is just the thing exists.
Yeah.
So I know what a George Miller 10 out of 10 is, and a 9 is fantastic, but a 9 is also not a 10 out of 10.
Yeah, who is a 10 out of 10? Chris Hemsworth in this. Finally free the MCU for a bit.
How close to his actual accent do you think he's doing? Do you think he's playing it up?
I saw an interview. He's doing an impression of someone he knows.
Sure. Okay.
That's because I know his actual accent. It's much closer to Thor's.
Really? Like, I know now that he's, like, lived in the U.S. and worked in the U.S. for, like, 15, almost 20 years at this point. Like, that makes sense. But, like...
Well, not, like, it's so much American, but, like, mm-hmm. it's Australian, but it's more subdued. It's not like the, yeah, that is, like, Dementis, you know, where he's like, hey, no,
yeah, sure.
Right, you know?
Sure. No, I understand.
He's doing an impression of, like, a yokel he knows in Australia.
Okay. Yeah. No, that makes total sense. Yeah. Yeah, this movie's great. I love this movie a lot. The fact that this movie did not get any technical nominations is...
I knew it was going to be good because every movie...
Might be the biggest snub for me.
Pretty much every movie that one of the MCU actors does after being free of their contracts is fantastic. But like Knives Out with Chris, the other Chris Evans, fantastic.
Knives Out is great, but I don't think a lot of... I've only seen the one, The Ghosted, but I've not seen any of the other Chris Evans, like, stuff that he's trying to be the starring vehicle of. I've heard it's a mixed bag. I mean, I haven't seen Doolittle.
That's what I said most.
But, like, Doolittle maybe great. I don't know. I've never seen
it. Not good. That's what
you've seen it?
I've heard it's not good. It did not do well.
Okay, that doesn't mean it's not good. Like,
oh man, you know, like, I don't always trust critics, but when, like, everyone's like, this movie isn't great, I find that there's usually some truth to that, especially if it's not an out there artistic movie, you know?
Sure.
Like, if it's a more mainstream fare and the mainstream doesn't like it, like, it's got a 15% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay, that just means people didn't like it, but, like, you could like it and it would be good to you.
I think that there is such thing as good and bad art. So
see, I don't even kind of. I believe there is well put together or, like, technically sound, but I don't think good or I think good and bad are, like, objective, semi-moral, but, like, objective terms to an almost entirely subjective medium.
I don't think that, like, every piece of art can be said is either good or bad. I think a lot of it is subjective. But I think there are definitely examples of this is good art and, like, this is bad art. Like, Michelangelo's David, good art. Chris Chan's drawings of Sonic Chew, bad art. Not good.
See, I don't even think... Okay.
I think it only exists in the extremes.
You know what? I still disagree with you, but I respect that opinion.
And when we get more granular to movies, I think that there is, like, even if you enjoy it, there is a thing is where you're like, you have failed to make a good film. Like, film has a language to it, and you can fuck up that language.
Yes.
And you can still walk away enjoying it, but it is a bad film. And it's okay to like it. Some films are not well made, but they hit you hard. It's a bad film that, like, a bad film can still be good art.
Let's use well made. Like, yes, I think something can be poorly made or, like, not follow film language, and if you like it, then to you that it is good. I don't think that, like, I think
it's good, but
that's all that matters. The only opinion that matters is your own.
Nah, I think there's like an objectiveness. There's an objective truth to art, I think.
Explain.
I just did. There's some art which is just good.
You say objective truth, I thought you meant there was like some grand meaning or like it was trying to say something.
No, it's just it is good art. It does what an art should, okay, in all its facets, and it does it all well. And then there are things which fail to do anything art should do. If art fails to elicit an emotion from most people, and it's not well made, and it really has nothing to say, even if a few people like it, it's bad art. It's failed to do anything art should.
See, I would probably say something closer to it fails at its goal, but if some people like it, then to them it's good art. And I think
and they have wrong opinions. Like you
can't have a wrong art opinion.
I think you can't.
I don't think you can. I think the
clearly some people's art opinions are more valid than others, or we wouldn't have critics. Like, or not even more valid, but are closer to a truth, because you can tell who's a good art critic and who's a bad art critic.
See, I don't think critics, first off, I don't think critics fucking matter. Speaking as people who, not that we're critics, but like people who like talk about movies in a casual way.
Critic.
I know. But I don't think critics have any more of a valid opinion than the average consumer, nor do I think their opinion is closer to the truth. A good critic,
I think,
doesn't really give their opinion as much as it like, or like a good critic doesn't put a value on the movie as much as whether or
Egbert.
Not what
Egbert right Robert Ebert. Ebert 100 is like the film critic,
okay, and I also don't think his opinion matters any more than mine does. I don't think his opinion matters more than anyone else's. I think just he was in public and confident.
I think critics only rise to that position if a critic rises to that position, they are tapping into our collective understanding of things in some way, and they are better able to gauge like the truth of whether something is good or bad. That's like the average critic, sure, whatever, but like a truly great critic is tapping into like the collective humanity. Otherwise people would not respond to their critiques as well as they do.
But that doesn't mean their opinion matters more. Like,
I don't think it matters more, but I think it's more truthful.
What does that mean?
I think that there's an inherent truth to art in some way, and that those people are closer to touching it.
You know what? Fair enough. Agree to disagree.
Food Fight's bad art.
No, Food Fight fails in storytelling medium.
Food Fight's
but
bad.
But the people who like Food Fight are just as
I don't
correct.
Think anyone does.
There has to be someone. Listen, Food Fight doesn't work for me in the slightest. And I
think it doesn't work for anybody.
That's not true.
If someone said Food Fight worked for me as a film, I would will myself back into the 1800s so I could condemn them to a sanitarium. Because I'm like, you need a doctor to look at you.
I would just be like, listen, dude.
If your brain chemistry is reading that as a good thing, you need help. Like,
we just have different taste. That's what matters, and is taste. Like,
and there's good taste and bad taste.
There's good taste and bad taste for on an individual level. I don't think there's good taste and bad taste on a macro level.
I think there is.
Fair. Agree to disagree. One thing we both agree on, though, is this movie rips.
It does.
It's so good.
It rips as hard as Furiosa's mother could rip into me.
Jesus Christ.
Fissures, dude.
Oh my god. Something I like that they did with this movie as they it wasn't just Fury Road, the spinoff. Like, this movie is told in chapters, which I can take or leave, but like that type of storytelling has never done it for me, but I also like, I'm not against it.
I think you just did it to make it easier for figuring out the time progression.
Yeah, 1000%.
So you can tell at what point it becomes Anya Joy Taylor.
Also, Anya Taylor Joy doesn't show up until an hour and 2 minutes, an hour and 1 minute into this movie.
Yeah, she's only Furiosa for like half the movie.
That's great. She's fantastic. But like, I was kind of expecting the first thing to be the child, and then cut to she's an adult with Dementis. Not she's still a child with Dementis.
Yeah. The issue is that both of those actors could either not play older or play younger convincingly. They were like the perfect ages to like take over those halves of your life, but they could go no further.
Oh, sure. No, but yeah, I mean, in my head, as soon as chapter one was over, chapter two was essentially going to start where chapter three was.
Mm.
Like, it was going to start 15 years earlier, or 15 years later. But it's like, oh, for the first 25 minutes, here's how we got here, here's where we are.
Yeah.
But it's more like, here's how we got here, here's also how we got here, here's how we got here as an adult. Okay, yeah, here's where we are.
It's a biopic.
Is it biography if the person isn't real?
Well, yeah, there's a fictional man telling us narratively it is the story of Furiosa told to us by a historian.
Sure. I mean, yeah, that's
it is the record is the bio it is the record of her life, a historical record slash legend of her life told to us by a man of learning. I think the idea is that we are gathered around a fire listening to the tale of Furiosa.
Was there voiceover in the beginning? Because I only remember...
The very first thing is there's the radio calls.
Yeah.
And then there's a voiceover of the word man, and then he fades out and we go into the story.
Okay, you're...
The whole thing is framed as his story.
Okay.
Which is weird that he spent so much time convincing us that her mom was hot.
I think it's because... Yeah. I think it's because he doesn't show up again until almost an hour and a half later that I just kind of forgot that he was there in the beginning. That it still was jarring. Also, again...
No, he shows up really early on. He's in the tent.
No, I mean the voiceover.
The voiceover.
Not
okay,
the
okay.
character.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, okay, yeah,
no,
you.
The characters there, like...
I gotcha.
Yeah. He also... I mean, we don't... I mean, Dementis disappears for like 40 minutes of this movie. Or like... 30-ish minutes of this movie.
Yeah.
Because chapter 3 is the shortest chapter, but doesn't feature him at all, I don't think. It is 19 minutes. And then it's like a good like 10-ish plus minutes until we see him old, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so this movie begins in childhood when Furiosa is picking a fruit.
Peach.
A peach? Okay. Is picking a fruit off.
A peach.
Whatever, dude.
You just don't seem sure what the fruit was, so I was hoping.
Just said a fruit.
Yeah, peach.
Okay. It's
the most delicious of fruits.
And then when I acknowledge what you said.
And then you went back to saying fruit, so I thought maybe you forgot.
No, I didn't.
Just trying to help you out here, buddy.
Oh my god.
It's the most delicious of fruits.
I actually disagree. Wow. I don't hate peaches. I actually like peaches a fair bit. Not my favorite.
Millions of peaches, dude. Peaches for free? Hell yeah. Peaches for me.
No, peaches are good. I mean, I understand why she climbed the tree and wartime.
Sometimes if I go to like a grocery store, I'll wring out a peach and eat it while I'm shopping. I love peaches. If they're just
wait,
in season.
You'll buy the peach first.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you carry the... Does anyone try and stop you when you have to carry your receipt?
I do carry the receipt. There was one time I ate a peach and then I had to go find another peach to wring out and then pull that peach back and be like, I ate a peach earlier.
But that's just my weight. So what if that peach was a different weight? I mean, it's all... It's close enough, I guess. I don't know. Steal from mega corporations. I don't give a shit. She picks the peach for her sister. And they're spying on, or are they, they're spying on like the,
no,
the
those
camp,
people just
the,
show
they're
up.
They're just there.
Yeah. Cause that was their horse that got killed.
Yeah. There's yeah. A biker gang.
There's a lot of moments in this movie I look at. I'm like, you could have averted tragedy here. It's something I've noticed. And that's part of the whole story. But I'm like, if they just went snuck back to camp or something, you know, or just blew the whistle to begin with instead of going down there, I feel like things would have ended up better.
But then we wouldn't have a movie.
Or if you just, I'm a mother too, just shoot her too. Things would have ended up perfectly fine.
She's captured by the gang. She
blows. Because this is the wasteland. Obviously, it's Mad Max. But they're the place of abundance where there's like still water and greenery and solar panels and wind turbines and beautiful Amazon women.
This is your dream.
This is my dream.
Is that why you like the mom immediately? Is that she's basically an Amazonian woman?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's what paradise looks like for me. Peaches, you just pluck off trees, the most delicious of fruit. Just beautiful Amazon women. Swords.
That
togas.
That sounds nice. That sounds really nice. Honestly, not a bad paradise. Is it ever explained, like, I haven't seen Fury Road in forever. Also, I don't think they explain it in Fury Road. It's never explained like why they have their resources, or is it just like this place just so happens to be,
I think this place,
like,
just so happens to be an oasis, because it goes away at the end of Fury Road. They lose it.
Yeah.
It fades away. So I think it was just a natural oasis that was found.
Okay.
And then populated with beautiful women and peaches, which I don't think are native to Australia. So they were brought in because they knew that this place had to be a paradise with beautiful Amazonian strong women with strong eyebrows and the most delicious of fruit growing from trees you can just pluck.
And Furiosa is captured by the biker gang and kidnapped. And
ugly men to show you that they are not from paradise. These are not beautiful women. These are ugly old men.
She blows a very high-pitched semi-magic whistle that they could hear from far away.
Whistles are loud. Signal whistles are a thing.
Sure.
I imagine it's more louder diegetically, but they didn't make it that loud because that would hurt your ears as a movie viewer. They didn't do the Dune thing where they're like, the worm's loud and you're going to feel the worm.
Yeah, no, I hate that shit. I loved having
to sit in the car afterwards because I was so wormed out. The immensity of the worm had shaken me.
Chris Hemsworth is appropriately volumed. So much of the dialogue in this movie is mixed so quietly. Did you have that too?
I noticed it watching it now. I did not notice it watching it in the theater.
Okay. So it was mixed for a theater.
I think it's mixed for a theater.
Which, I mean, obviously makes sense. Cool. Okay. Because I had my TV up to like 60.
Yeah, no, in a theater, I never was like, what do they say? But like, yeah, watching it, I was like.
Yeah, I was up to like 60 and relying on subtitles 30% of the time. Cool. Okay. Good to know. Thank you. I thought I was going crazy or that my TV was broken.
No. He paved the path for the worm with his great movie mixing.
Fair enough.
That was made. Like, I saw it in IMAX. I don't think too many movies need to be seen in IMAX. I think this movie would do very well in IMAX.
Yes, this movie would do amazing.
You need to watch Dune in IMAX. You need to feel the worm in your bones.
Okay, but we're not going to be able to do that in March.
I'm buying IMAX subwoofers.
You are?
Yeah, the ones
if
that
you do, I...
Stealing. But I'm taking the subwoofers from an IMAX. I'm going to shake the foundation of this apartment complex apart with the sound of the worm.
If you do, I will watch it with you in this apartment.
I might get some subwoofers just for the worm.
Your neighbor already hates you.
No, he's been chill ever since I started parking how he wanted me to.
So what did you park incorrectly? Like,
I parked in my space, which was too close to his car. So now I park a bit too close to the beam that separates my space from the other person's space. And, he ceased.
So you should get subwoofers and just piss him off more now. Just like,
yeah, I don't think anyone would be able to tell it was me because it would shake the entire building so thoroughly that no one would be able to pinpoint where the worm was.
Well, if they were literal IVAC, no, I'm pretty sure you can pinpoint where the center of the shaking is.
I think that the entire building would reach, like, every single iota of this building would reach the maximum shakage. That there wouldn't be like, oh, I'm walking away, it's shaking less. Everything is shaking totality, and everyone knows it's the worm.
God, I wish I saw this movie in IMAX. I wish I saw this movie in theaters. I saw zero movies in theaters last year because I had zero time.
It was great. I saw it with Brandon. It was pretty good.
Hell yeah. So she's kidnapped. She blows the signal whistle and her mother.
The Amazonians march.
Yes. Her mother and
her
another.
Hot fucking mother is like, I'm going to kill a bunch of men and look great doing it.
And she's taken. Furiosa is. The mother is tracking the bikers. And Furiosa is taken to Dementis's.
Track. She's keeping them with an eye distance because every so often she's doing a good enough job. She just stops and takes some pot shots and hits them a bunch.
I mean, yeah, track is the wrong word. What is tail, I guess?
Follow. hunts
maybe. Follow to me sounds like
she hunts these people.
Yes, hunt. Okay, hunts is better. Like, yeah, she hunts or tails them.
She just fucking keeps shooting them. They're like, sniper.
And Furiosa is taken to Dementis, who is played by Chris Hemsworth, who
does such a fantastic job of starting out as this like kind of false messiah then just going into utter fucking insanity.
Yes. Also,
watching this on double speed really helped me appreciate how erratic his movements are.
How could you watch this on double speed? How could you follow the action sequences on double speed?
I'm great.
I don't believe you.
I listen to podcasts on double speed. I'm pressed for time. I process things faster.
See, no, I'll listen to audio at double speed, but when those fight scenes are happening, they are like...
After a while, it doesn't feel like it's double speed. It feels normal to me. I can't divert my attention from it like I might at a normal speed. But if I'm focusing and watch, and like I am watching this,
if you're like locked in,
yeah. But like I always knew that he's doing a great job with the erratic movements. But at double speed, you can really see like how erratic he becomes, like physically through the movie, because everyone else is moving normally, but his twitching is so fast now that you can just see how much he stands out from everyone else in body language with his twitching and his weird movements.
In the trailers, I thought he was a Morton Joe. Like, I mean, that's a lot of my friends heard that. Like, they don't show a Morton Joe, so we all like we think it's like a pre Citadel.
I didn't, because I know the deep lore of a Morton Joe.
Is there a book or something to look into?
I think it was a book.
Okay.
I didn't read the book, but I read up on all the Morton Joe lore. Now he used to serve in like the Australian military, and right after everything started going down is when he started doing his upbringing.
Is there a reason all of his children are deformed? Is it like him? Like him?
It's radiation and contamination of the wasteland.
Sure, but not everyone is deformed, but all of his children are.
Yeah, because a lot of the people we see are older, so a lot of these people were born like before the end, especially in Furiosa. And I mean, everyone has like deformities, just like some of them are more extreme than others.
So were Furiosa and her sister born before everything went down? Like, this is basically immediately after everything went down?
I think, they were born in a pure place, untouched from contamination. They're not they're drinking pure water. They're eating pure food. It's why it's this mythical place of abundance. As the organic mechanic, my favorite reoccurring character, says.
I'm so excited to see my boy back. I was so pumped. He's the best. He's so cool.
He's so cool. He's not a dick. He's just trying to survive.
Also, I love the language has progressed to the point where doctor doesn't exist, yeah, but organic mechanic does.
He's so good. And like, he's just one of those characters where like, he just does his job. He's not doing anything evil. He's just like, I'm a doctor, or I'm an organic mechanic, and I will organic mechanic.
In the beginning, how far into the apocalypse do you think we are? Like pre-50, I know at the end we're like the 15-year time skip, but like...
Like the beginning of the film?
Yeah. How far into the apocalypse do you think we are?
Well, I think that we know that Chris Hemsworth saw it. I'm trying to think, because like it's a very slow apocalypse too. Because like in Mad Max, we're seeing like everything start to fall apart. It's like a sudden end of the world.
And then by the time Road Warrior happens, things are basically falling apart, not quite in totality.
And we know that Jack's parents were alive when like things weren't completely falling apart. Like his parents were alive in like Mad Max when they're still a police force.
Okay. So my question basically is, if it's a couple years, maybe. I think it's a little early for deterioration of the old language and creation of a new one, essentially, or at least a new dialect. I think dialects, like, they take a long time to develop.
They do, but like a central conceit. Well, also because it was a very slow deterioration of society before like the end came. Like things are already going nuts. But a general conceit of the Mad Max universe is that everyone just goes fucking insane.
Sure. Okay.
So I don't think it's necessarily like a natural progression, just as everyone has fucking lost their minds.
Fair.
Because organic mechanic comes from the near warship of like cars and gas as a means of survival.
Yes. Okay.
I think it's not so much like a naturally evolving dialect as there's a bunch of insane people worshipping cars. This man can heal us. He's the organic mechanic. Because like the word man knows that he's a doctor.
Or has language developed so like to the point of insanity where he forgot the word doctor? Like, do you think organic mechanic is like what he calls himself?
He definitely calls himself the organic mechanic.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, everyone would. Yeah. We should start calling doctors organic mechanics today.
I think he went nuts or at least got to a point where he saw a bunch of nuts people and said, I'm the organic mechanic, because that's what they understood.
That makes sense.
When a bunch of people show up worshiping bikes Which I really like is like the almost like Genghis Khan horde that we get here compared to like a Morton Joe's more structured thing is when we see all the bikes going. It's like a, the Huns. I think he saw that and said, I'm the organic mechanic because it plays into their narrative.
Okay.
Because everyone's trapped in their own narratives.
Where, listen, I have not seen Beyond Thunderdome, but I've seen Mad Max, Road Warrior, Fury Road, and Furiosa. And I've seen Road Warrior and Fury Road a couple times. Where, how do you know this much lore? Did you just spend hours on the internet?
I spent hours on the internet on a lot of things. I can tell you almost the entirety of Bionicle, or if you so choose. So all the islands are part of Mata Nui's body, and Mata Nui's a giant robot sent from another planet to solve their climate collapse, which is actually very akin to Mad Max.
Have you watched any of the Bionicles movies?
Yeah.
Okay, then bring them.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're great.
I'm more willing to hear Bionicle's lore.
This isn't in the movies. This was in the comics.
I'm still more willing to hear about Bionicle's lore.
Like Metra Nui's like the brain of the Mata Nui robot.
Thank you.
And like Mata Nui, the first island is just his dirt covered face.
Save it for the future episode. Leave them wanting more.
No one wants more Bionicle lore.
I disagree. I am actually kind of fascinated, but I am waiting for the episode.
I have a shirt somewhere that says, like, I have an asshole for my uncle and he didn't take me to Legoland or something. I just saw it for sale. I'm like, I need that.
Furiosa's mom infiltrates the camp. More or less right away.
Well, this is after that, like, Decimus is like, hey, I'm a good guy. Just clean her up.
I was going to say, yeah. Dementis more or less right away takes a liking to her.
And everyone's trying to figure out where she's from, and she's just not talking. Because the guy that's been there ends up getting almost killed by her, so he can't talk. Like, draw a map, point an arrow, because they just want to find this place. Because the organic mechanic, our favorite character, does a quick examination of her and be like, nah, she's fine. She's healthy. And everyone's like, well, where'd she come from that she can be so healthy?
Do you think he takes a liking to her? Okay, I think it's a combination of a couple things, but I want to get your opinion. I think it's a combination of he's trying to be nice to her so that she reveals information. But I also, and later on when he gives her the stuffed bear, like I think it's she in some way reminds him of his children.
I think it's his lost children. And it's playing into the persona he made for himself of this like benevolent figure with his prosthetic nose. He's a prosthetic nose in this film.
Yes. So Furiosa is at Dementis' camp. Furiosa's mom, who has a name, is mentioned like once.
It's Mama something. Because it's also mentioned in Fury Road.
I cannot remember off the top of my head.
We can just call her Hot Mom. Mama Hotness.
Okay, you know what? Go for it. Mama Hotness infiltrates Dementis' camp and tries to steal her daughter back and is...
pretty much succeeds, but this woman's like, oh, I'm a mother too, no! And she spares her, which was a fatal mistake.
Sure, but it's a fatal mistake that anyone with a level of emotion, like
if
emotional
empathy...
I live
empathy, in a beautiful oasis with peaches and hot women and power, and everyone wears togas, we're all pretty chill, and I'm trying to take someone back, no one's gonna see me alive. Anyone who sees me has to die. I'm a ghost. You're never gonna know I was here because you were not tracking me back.
The point is, I understand why she does it. There's an empathy there and an assumed understanding.
I am prepared for when the end times come. I'm protecting my hot woman peach oasis.
Okay, honestly, you go for it.
I'll kill all
you go, girl.
I'll kill all the dirty barbarians of the world to keep it safe.
So she spares the other mother, and the other mother snitches to Dementis, and they chase her down, and they capture her.
After she kills a bunch of them and just beats them with her gun.
Yeah.
And she catches them fire, unfazed, burnt, unfazed. God, she's so fucking cool. And then she's like, go, Furiosa, don't look back. But then Furiosa looks back, and so she's captured. Because if Furiosa kept going, they would never find her.
Yeah. She's gonna turn back to see her mother.
See, but then she sees your mom crucified.
That's, yeah, correct. Yeah, it's... Yes, that's the issue with a lot of these movies, is like, or when people are, when people in these movies are like, well, all they had to do was blah blah blah, and I'm like, yeah, they reacted like a person. They didn't react like a machine.
They acted like a child. I think an adult Furiosa would have kept going.
Sure. No, almost certainly. I was going to say an adult Furiosa from Fury Road, absolutely. But like,
I think an adult of that society would have the emotional maturity to realize they have to leave. Yeah.
Yes.
Really, I place the blame, as much as it pains me, on Hot Mama, because she should kill everyone that knows about you guys and leave.
But even then, that's an incredibly human decision to have empathy. And maybe that's the fatal flaw of that society.
It is. It's a reoccurring thing in this movie, is that the people who cling to their humanity suffer the most.
Yes, which I love. I think it's a great like rule of the universe. But I also would like to believe I would try and cling to my humanity.
It's the opposite story of Mad Max, who the titular Mad Max, Maxwell Rutkowski, who can regain his humanity and still get out fine because he's the titular wasteland warrior. The point is that the world has lost a beautiful woman to a crucifixion.
Yes.
And the word man cries. You know why? Because he knows the definition of the word beauty, and he realizes it has been lost.
And that's the end of the first chapter. Second chapter is so quickly after, a couple weeks, a couple months maybe. She's in a cage. Dementis gives her a teddy bear to watch essentially gladiator battles.
Yeah, he has her in a cage with the word man.
He keeps a teddy bear of his children's on him at all times, and gives it to Furiosa, who he calls Little Dementis, or Little D. And she drops the teddy bear, is like denying this path in life, and is starting to like draw a map back to her place through the constellations on her arm. And everyone's like, what is this map for? Like, what is this for? And she's not speaking. Is it basically immediately after they go to the Citadel, or is there something in between?
I think it's pretty much because they do the whole like he recruits the woman that stays with him in the big bike battle, and then they're riding around and they go check out the war boy who's just war boying it up by not knowing anything that's going on.
Yeah, they go to the Citadel, they go to a Morton Joe's place, and they're all straddled up ready to battle, and he takes an old-timey microphone and old-timey speakers on a car and announces his
because he's trying to get them to overthrow the rulers and join him, because that's his whole thing, is he's like, join the collective where everyone's taken care of. Morton Joseph is a fascist death cult, so it does not work.
Yes, we see the first in canon, the first Witness Me. And then they're taken into like the situation room, but like the like meeting room, where Dementis is trying to argue for control of Gastown.
There's a lot that happens that's not immediately after, because he said, because they do the thing, and then there's the whole battle, and then they leave, because that's when they have the great scene of all the big cranes coming down taking bikes. And then
that was later in the movie, you're right.
And then
you're
he attacks the Gastown caravan.
Right. I confused that for the same the battle later in the movie. Also, damn, you're right. There's the first like real, because that's the first like real George Miller Mad Max like battle of the movie.
Yeah,
because the dirt bike stuff is fantastic and excellently directed and excellently edited, but this is the first time where it's like, oh, this is the guy who made Fury Road.
Yeah, this is the insane explosions. People are being ripped off the ground.
Yeah, I don't know why I thought that was later in the movie.
He's got to make Octo Daddy mad first.
But yeah, I will say something about this movie versus Fury Road, and I'm pretty sure people have said this before, but like the more CGI is the wrong word, but like Fury Road, there was like CGI and enhanced to practicality, and it's the same with Furiosa, but like some of the things look faker than they do in Fury Road. Like I can tell what is it CGI? Like it's computer generated imagery. Mm-hmm. Like I mean, like I can tell what is computer assisted versus what is more practical, better than
it is much Fury less Road. Practical shooting in the desert compared to,
I mean, which Fury makes Road. Sense. People almost, so many people like got,
and it costs so almost much. Died.
I, yeah. I would have to look this up. I don't think anyone... Did anyone get seriously hurt on Fury Road?
I don't think so.
Because I know there were... Yeah. Because I didn't know if it actually happened or if it was just so close all of the time.
Yeah, it's general hazards of working in a desert every actor deals with.
Yeah, so they, yeah, he takes control of Gastown and then they're in the Situation Room.
Because he gets a, he does a cunning ploy when they're where they capture the war rig. And then they're like, this is good. He's like, it can be better. And then he gets the Octodaddy's guy, the Parachute Boys, to dress up like
the
War Boys.
Yeah.
And when he's riding it in, they don't believe it. And so he starts killing off Octodaddy's guys to make it look real. And once they're inside, they take control.
When they come back, is that the first witness me? Or is that the first time? Like, when the obviously the dude spray canes, the explode, when the dude kamikazes himself,
yeah.
That scares them away, right? Or is that after they come back with the Octodad people?
That scares them away. When they come back, all we see of them coming back is a guy shows up and he sends the finger. Then we see the guys talking.
Yeah, yep. Okay, cool. I know where we're at. I'm so sorry. they're in the Situation Room and Dementis is clinging for basically whatever control he has. He has a little bit of a bargaining chip, but...
Well, he makes it a big one when he's like, we're not back. They blow... Gastown blows up.
Yeah.
Because that's a huge bargaining chip. Because
they need guzzoline.
Yeah.
The dude's name... Immortan Joe. Immortan Joe agrees to... More supply, like a certain amount of supply.
Not as much as he wants, but he agrees at an uptick. Right.
A little bit more of supplies in exchange for... No, it's in exchange for the Organic Mechanic and Furiosa, but there was something else that it wasn't... Like, it was an exchange for a good of some... For guzzling, yeah. But I thought it was something else also.
That's mostly because he instantly got super horny at this child.
Yeah.
He looks at this child and he's like, oh,
okay.
I'm going to fill her up!
See, that's... Okay.
I'm gonna fill this perfect child up. So you can that actor deserves an award for how well, like the portrayal of a man instantly becoming aroused at a young child is so well done, and that's not easy to do, I imagine. You know,
I would hope not.
It's like you can be like, oh, I have to be horny for this woman. Okay, it's a grown woman who's hot. Charlize Theron, no, it's a child. And you're like, can you convey with just your eyes, because most of your face is covered, just your eyes, how fucking ready you are to pump her full of your seed?
Jesus Christ. Ew. So ew.
Yeah, he keeps a bunch of women locked in his
thing. I know.
For the sole purpose of pumping out children.
That's not cool.
I mean, it's not
cool.
I
don't
cool.
know if this is a... I don't
not
know
if cool
this is
because like, it's rape. Also not cool because I don't know. I think prego fetishes are a bit icky.
I don't know if this is a hot take. I think Immortan Joe...
A bad guy.
I don't think he's secretly a hero or misunderstood. I just think he's a bad guy. I don't know. I don't engage in the Mad Max fandom. I don't know if like there are some Immortan Joe defenders. But like, I think they're wrong.
I think the only thing anyone has anything good to say about him is he is one of the only warlords trying to, like, even if it's a terrible society, keep a society going. Whereas like he's like with Decimus, he's just fucking around.
Sure.
But you know, he's appalled by the idea of child brides. So that's fair. One positive of it. That crazy boy is that he's like, stop being horny for this child.
Right. She meets the war brides, and that life is not for her, obviously. But like,
luckily, Immortan Joe's mentally disabled son, as opposed to his non-mentally disabled son, Scrotus is the one that's there, decides he's gonna fuck his dad's child bride.
Yeah.
But she shaved her hair and created an escape wig.
Yeah, and oh my god, I love that scene. I don't know, I had the thoughts and I completely lost it. Do you ever have a train of thought and then completely lose it?
No, not when I'm talking. If I stop talking, I'll lose it, but as long as I keep talking, I'm on the rails.
That's fascinating to me, because I'll be having a conversation and then...
Oh, it's because the words are just coming out. There's no thought attached.
Oh, okay.
I've opened up a spigot. I mean, I like the scene where he's chasing her and she gets away. And the brother's like, what are you doing out here? He's like, none. He's like, Don't nun me. What the fuck are you doing out here?
Yeah. How does chapter two end? I know it's around, like, it's,
but
like,
she shaves her head and escapes because he goes to fuck her, and then he's like smelling her hair and she runs away, and then she gets away, and then she disguises herself as a war boy, and that's when we come into the next act
where it's like 15 years later and it's Anya Taylor-Joy and she is a not talking
war not boy. It's after the war rig, I think. I don't think, because we get a bit of her when she's
chapter three, right?
Oh yeah, because the chapter two ends with her becoming the dog.
Yes, and chapter three begins with her being the mute boy, and it's Anya Taylor, and we're like an hour and 2 minutes into this movie, and she finally shows up.
The only thing that like doesn't sell that they're the same character is that Anna's eyes are so far apart compared to this woman's, and it's her eyes have suddenly drifted.
It didn't bother me at all. It did not take me out of the movie in any way, shape, or form. I acknowledged that
I spent like 3 hours searching for a reason what happened to Furiosa, that her eyes departed and came back.
A different actress played the child versus the adult. That's what happened.
I just never noticed how far apart they were until I saw this movie. I was like, ah, oh, shit.
Chapter three starts with her being the mute war boy.
As they all get together to do big team building exercise. Like, yes. We're going to, come on, guys, we're going to build something cool.
And they interconnect their fingers and lift it above their heads in like a pseudo Seagile situation.
Well, it's the engine.
Yeah.
It's the V8.
Sure, but it is, but they like chant like
Hail. As opposed to the main engineer who's pretty chill about the whole thing. He's like, we're going to build something really cool, guys. And then Rick is like, four more to go! And he's like, it's going to be stellar. Like, he's just aggressively normal compared to everyone else. This mechanic guy, he's like, we're going to build something real sick.
Yeah, and then they're transferring the oil rig over. They're going to Gastown, right? Like, that's what's happening? They're, like, refilling? Or yeah. What's the purpose of the mission?
Well, because they build the big old rig, and that's when we first see Imperator Jack, who's the guy in charge. And the next time we see it is that they're taking the war rig to, they're bringing it, it's full of vegetables and food from the Citadel, which they're going to trade, and mother's milk and water, and they're going to trade that for guzzling.
Yes. Okay, that is what I just wanted to make sure I had the right read on that.
Because generally the Citadel supplies food to the other three, Gastown supplies guzzling to the other two, and then the Bullet Farm, which is just a mine, provides bullets to the other two.
Dementis is not in charge of the Bullet Farm yet, but he becomes in charge of the Bullet
Farm. No, he's in charge of the Bullet Farm at this point.
Okay,
not the Bullet Farm, sorry, I thought he was at Gastown.
No, yeah.
I don't think of him being in charge of the Bullet Farm, because he controls it for all of 5 minutes before.
I know, he complains that it was his first stay in charge.
Yeah. But yeah, he has been ruling a gas town for several years now, because they're on the way, and that then she's going to try to escape is her big thing.
Yes, it's the chapter is called The Stowaway.
Yeah,
and she stows away underneath and
with a bike
to, yeah,
but then they are attacked by the crazy gang, the Octodaddy's gang, who is split.
Yes.
Because, like, that's Octodaddy's gang. They're right with Decimus. And he goes, nah, they fucking left. Mm-hmm. And they go, oh, war boy time.
Another scene that just reminds you just how good George Miller can be. Like, you know how words work.
Now?
God damn, I hate this.
So many of your jobs involve talking.
I know. Do you remember what my point was?
That he's a great director.
He's a great action director. There was a specific shot I wanted to point out, and I forget what it was.
I mean, this is where eventually her bike's destroyed, so she ends up helping the war rig, and then she goes up and like patches it together and kills Octodaddy, and then tries to threaten Jack into giving her the war rig. And he just like instantly kicks her out.
And the dwarf really wants to do, or keeps saying some, I forget the name of the attack.
Ballywalker.
Yeah, the Ballywalker. And the first time we hear Anya Taylor-Joy as Furiosa speak, she's, you know, like, now's the time, Ballywalker.
But he dies.
Yeah.
It's sad.
Yeah.
But then, so she's left on the side of the road with a broken leg, because he just drives off. But then he comes back and he's like, hey, you can work for me, because I really need a new crew right now, because everyone's dead. He's like, I'll teach you what you need to know, and then when you want to leave, I'll help you. Because he's a decent fellow, that Jack.
They do the head things that she and her mother did, right? Or is that the next chapter?
That's later.
For some reason, I thought the chapter ended, but like it like ended with them doing the head thing. Like
the chapter might end, but I know that bit, because that's when she's like, here's your gun back. He's like, nah, you'll need it.
Yeah, this is the shortest chapter. This is also kind of the one that you could, like, if you had to delete one of them, you could delete. Like if you had to, for sake of time. I think everything in that happens in there is important for Furiosa as a character, but I think it is mostly unimportant for the world around.
Yeah.
Other than teaming up with Jack. But
because, the next chapter opens up with her being in the front of the, like, openly being her in front of the world.
Right, but you can... I think because it's the time jump, you could literally cut and then four and it's just 15 years later and like so much has happened that we don't see. This is the least, I think.
I think people would be like, why did she go from being like a hidden war boy into being an open woman?
I'm not saying you should delete it. I'm saying like if you had to, this is the one you would delete.
I guess that's weird. I just never have these thoughts watching movies.
I was watching it where like it's this movie's long. This is the longest movie we've done for the show. A little over 2.5 hours. I don't think it's too long. I think I wouldn't cut anything, but it was one of those that I think like this movie, if I were a producer and someone handed me the cut of a 2.5 hour movie and I was like if I were the director and I made this movie and someone said like you have to cut something, I would just cut the entirety of the third. I don't know, I was picturing what concessions you would have to make. Chapter 3 ends with her joining, and then chapter 4 begins with now she's like his head, his teammate, his official, his head honcho.
Yeah, and they go to Gastown.
Yes.
Well, they're preparing to leave, but first they have to go to Gastown to get gas. And we find that Dark Dementis is in charge now, and everything's bad.
Because it's 15 years later, he no longer... At the beginning of the movie, Chris Hemsworth was young with flowing red hair.
Yeah.
You know, like, dyed red in a way that no human hair is ever red, that red? It's...
Well, the first time we see it's blonde, then he dyes it red.
Yes.
But now it's gray, and he has a darkened... parachute cloak he's wearing.
The comedian Mary Santora in her first album has the joke she dyed her hair late for court red. Like, Dementis dyes his hair very similarly to late for court red.
But then he's all dark and everything's shit. And he's like, you can't get the gas you want because everything's shit. You just need to leave because like everyone's actively rioting around them. He's like, I need to speak. Well, because first they go to the bullet farm.
Yes.
He went to the bullet farm and the guy's like, he's fucking crazy. We need a meeting. Here's your gun. And he gives the gun to her and he's like, we'll plan it. It's time for you to go. I'll get everything together. Don't worry. And they go to the gas town and it's like, everything's shit. It's just bad. It's a bad time.
I thought there was going to be an expansion. I'm so sorry.
People fighting over cabbages.
Here's the thing about a Mad Max desert society, apocalyptic society. Shit's bad.
But this is particular bad because everything's still running in the Citadel and Bullet Farm fine. Not everyone's rioting here.
Fair enough.
He's doing a bad job running Gastown.
He is doing a bad job running Gastown. I also think, in general, Gastown is under-resourced. But I also think he's mismanaging resources. Yeah. I think it's a combination of a bunch of shit. No one's having a good time, even kind of. Jack is the dude, right? Okay. Jack and Furiosa are captured.
Not there.
Yeah, and both. No,
because he's like, if you want to get out, follow me. And they leave, and then she gets stabbed. And that's when they have the touching moment where they touch heads. Because he asks her, what's the map on her arm to? And she doesn't answer. And he's like, I'm going to help you get there. And then they get captured after they decide, because he's like, we have to do something about this. So you have to go to Bullet Farm to get ammo and shit. Because he starts demanding and cutting them off and stuff. Because he sends them back without gas. He's like, you're going to go get bullets from Bullet Farm. And that's when he goes and he's taken over Bullet Farm.
I'm going to tell you the touching moment and everything happened before they went to Gastown in my head. Not like after.
Not because that's when he's sewing up her wound from being stabbed in Gastown.
You're right. No, that is chapter 4.
I am the word man. I remember the world's histories.
Is this... I mean, you picked the movie. I would hope so. You've seen this movie before. Also, it's not as bad as Fury Road. Bad is the wrong term, but not as much as Fury Road. But this also has the very George Miller action, like, blinking you miss it thing. I mean, that's just good direct. That's just like good storytelling. But like, if you're not hyper like aware of what's going on, you're going to miss like huge chunks.
I'm always hyper aware because I'm watching it at double speed.
Do you watch Fury Road on double speed?
No, I watch it in theaters.
You haven't seen Fury Road since?
I mean, I only watch really double speed for this podcast.
Oh, you watch movies on regular speed normally?
Generally, yeah.
Then why do you watch them for double speed on this podcast?
Well, because if I'm sitting down to watch a movie on my own time, that's purely for entertainment. But this I have to get done in time for the podcast. And I'm usually running short on time.
And the theory is you're going to watch it right before recording.
Yeah.
Okay.
I finished it like 3 minutes before you got here.
Fascinating.
That's why it's so fresh in my mind.
Fair enough. But yeah, they're captured. We got to that point, right?
Well, they have the big scene because he goes in and they see a dog, which is like Decimus has dogs. And they realize so they're about to like... He put her in a different car because they were going to drive off after this. But then there's the whole trap and stuff. And she goes in. They have this whole fight scene. Because she starts to leave, but then she decides to go back for him. They're both trying to sacrifice their lives for each other.
I believe you. I don't remember the dog. I remember the dog when they are captured and he's like running around and he lets them out.
Because they're pulling in and then he sees a dog carrying an arm. And he goes, brrr! And that's when everything starts going to shit. It's like rocket launchers. But then they get away from that whole... boondoggle, but he drives down he knocks down the gate that they barricaded the bullet farm, and he chases them down, and that's when they're captured.
Yeah, like he ties Jack to the end of the motorcycle and is having the dude like go around and is making a Furiosa watch.
And he chains her by her bad arm.
He fucks up her arm. In the attempt capture, she like shoots and gets a dude, but then her arm is out and he rams this giant monster truck.
So he puts that arm attached up, has a little snack, has a little frantic shaking around moment. He's like, all right, we're done. We're going home. And then she's gone because she's just ripped her arm off.
He's bored and she escaped through.
Just ripping her arm off.
And she rides away on a motorcycle.
And this is when Mac shows up because she passes out. And he's like, and you can just hear him eating like some food from a can. He goes,
yes. And that's the thing I found confusing because I recognized it was Max and then immediately.
Like drags her to the next settlement in his mind.
And then, yeah.
And then she escapes from the maggot pits.
Yeah. And goes back to a Morton Joe.
I love because they've been pulling up the big thing to go to the top of the gate.
Yes, and she's like, I am the...
And she's like, I'm in Pier de Fieros. And the guy's like, what? She's like, I'm in Pier de Fieros. And he goes, Jesus
what are
Christ.
Doing here?
Well, he says, Jesus Christ, what happened to you?
Which is just
such a human... I love... One of the things I love about this movie, whenever someone just has a human response to another person, just small moments where he's like, what the fuck happened to you?
That made me laugh too.
And they show up, it's like, where's the Peter Jack? And it's like he's taking a bullet farm and blah 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 blah.
Yeah, that Dementus is trying to start a war, and like it's one of those he's gonna make you think that he's a gas town.
Yeah, because they're like he's burning gas town, and Morton Joe's like, Shungwai's in charge, because for all the monster he was like in the military, he's like, no, he's just making us think it's on fire.
Yes, so we're gonna make him think that we
because everyone's like, we should go fight him there.
And they send a small group.
No, he's there. We should fight him there. No, we should go to Bullet Town. No, da, 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 da. We should wait here.
And when he's walking away, Furiosa grabs him and is like, you get him. If you get him, he's mine.
And he just walks away.
And yeah, they send a small group over to Gastown or in the direction of Gastown.
And he's like, the fucking idiot fell for it. Let's go, boys.
Dementus thinks he's so smart. And he keeps driving to the Citadel. And then they give the signal and the dude, they turn around. But
then the old man narrates. He's like, there's been many wars.
There's the one day, the thousand day.
The rose war, roses of oranges. And now the 40-day wasteland war. We get a cool little montage of just the utter chaos.
Yeah, and then that's when Furiosa is like, I need a vehicle.
Yeah, and then she gets the shitty one the guy's really excited about.
Yeah, where he uses the stick, it's a stick, but the log as the fourth wheel.
Yeah, because he's like, I got one for you. Isn't she a beaut? And it's like awful.
She is a beaut, though. And
she goes out to the killing pits.
Yes, and the sons are ripping, taking apart her car to put together like a great ultra vehicle.
Her car, every other car, they're just trying to.
Yes.
And then they're arguing over who goes after it, and then she goes, And then Scrotus, who is like shockingly sane for how he looks and how this world is like, who was that? Yes. And the word man comes up because he switched sides and he's like, that is the darkest of angels, the fifth rider of the apocalypse.
Yes.
The fifth horseman of the apocalypse.
Yeah, that's the, and then it's back, and then chapter five. But what's the other, what's the disabled brother's name?
Scrotus. No, that's Rictus.
When Scrotus is going to be the one to go, and then Rictus was like, I'm coming with you. And while they're arguing, she
just takes the fucking
The thing. And then chapter five is
she chases after him. He splits up with all his goons. She figures out which one's him and she hunts him down. He's taking a little nap because he thinks he's escaped, but she slit his water and took in his bullets. And she's wearing his parachute cloak.
Yes. And took the front wheel of his bike, right? Or she had something to his bike.
Possibly, yeah.
Yeah, because they did the close-up of the... but there's the scene where those three split up, and the one-eyed dude, who we'd never mentioned at this point, but one of his, like...
lieutenants,
yeah. One of his lieutenants has one eye.
Gets torn apart.
And yes, and pretends to be him, and then another dude...
wears his cloak and pretends to be him.
Yes.
That's how she gets his cloak to wear it in mockery.
She captures, like, she has him cornered and captured, and just feels like torturing the hell out of him for some sick revenge. And Dementis is like, you're no better than me. We're the same. And he's
also, nothing you do will ever make you feel good.
No, 1,000%. And
he's like, I understand. I'm in your shoes. Nothing, you'll never fix yourself.
We're both dead.
Yeah.
We're both dead inside. And the only thing that drives you is hate. And I want to let you know that the moment I'm dead, that hate doesn't go away. Yeah. And
he's like, me dying won't make you feel better. You'll always be chasing the next high.
Yeah. Last chapter at the Citadel, she rebuilds her arm. She does the
mechanical
arm. Yeah. Which is a prototype of the one she'll have in Fury Road. But for some reason I thought it was going to be the exact arm, but no, I think it's cooler that it's a prototype. Yeah. And then like, oh, time has developed.
She keeps saying like, bring him back.
Yeah.
He's like, I wish I could bring back my wife and kids. You can't.
I can't. Like, and she just like beats the shit out of him over and over and over. And he like has the weird brain hemorrhage and then wakes back up and is
like Lil D.
Yeah, she uses not pliers, not clippers,
cutters.
Yeah, like cutters. Bolt cutters.
Yeah,
bolt cutters. She uses bolt cutters to take the teddy bear. And seeing her with the teddy bear, he recognizes Lil D, and is like, "It was always gonna be you, huh? I'm so glad to see you."
He's like, "Yeah, you're you'll be chasing this till the day you die. The question is, can you make it epic?" And the word man's like, no one's sure how he died.
Some say that the regular rumor is that she just shot him.
Yeah.
But there's also like thrown around that she crucified him, but or she like dragged him around. Like,
but she whispered to the word man that she grew the most delicious of fruit trees upon his flesh.
Yes, like through him.
Yeah.
That like he living still is the fertilizer for the tree.
Yeah, because it ends with her putting the brides in the truck,
and that is Furiosa. And then there's credits, and then there's like cuts from Fury Road. It's like, here's how the story actually ends, which like we didn't need. We know how the story ends. Fury Road exists.
I do think the one place this movie excels over Fury Road is it really allows a deeper look at the psychology of the Wasteland.
Yes, but I also think it's trying to accomplish a different goal than Fury Road is. But I think the world building is better in this movie. I think because this is like slower storytelling by nature, Fury Road is 2 hours of nearly nonstop action.
Yeah, it's a car chase.
You take like 5 minutes to breathe.
It's a car chase where there's a U-turn.
Yes. But Fury Road is nearly nonstop action, and it works. It's probably the only movie of its kind where like you can maintain that level forever. This is much more like Road Warrior, where it's like building excitement. While Mad Max has like really only two big scenes because it was so low budget, Road Warrior levels up, and this is very much like Road Warrior. And honestly, I would probably rank this exactly even with Road Warrior. Warrior, in that they're both nines only because Fury Road exists. If Fury Road didn't exist, I would just be like, this is a perfect movie. This is amazing. This is brilliant. Like, I love every second of this. And I do. I love every second of this movie. Unfortunately, it lives in the shadow of its better older sibling.
I kind of like it a bit. I'm not sure it's a better movie, but I like that it how it delves into just the despair of the apocalypse more. Because a lot of Fury Road is focused on, like, Immortan Joe as, like, the theming of, like, the conquering warlord. And like enslaving people and the cruelty of man.
Yeah.
Whereas this movie plays around a lot more with just the insanity and despair and lack of hope at the end of the world.
And this movie is, I think we mentioned, it's slower by nature on purpose. And I think it does, Road Warrior does this too, but like, at no point are the slower parts uninteresting.
Yeah.
And I think that's incredibly what's impressive. That's the word I was looking for. I think it's incredibly impressive that like the world building dialogue-y parts are as interesting and impactful to watch as the action sequences are. This, it's also near perfect action. Like it's almost near perfect action.
Stop. Do you think her and Jack fucked?
See, I don't think they fucked, but I think they had like an incredibly like emotionally bonded relationship. Like, I don't think it was like, he says lovey-dovey, but like, I don't know if it was ever romantic in nature. I think it was more like deep, true love. But like, I don't know. To answer your question, I don't think that they had sex.
I bet you gave him a handy, like in the Green Knight.
No, I don't think so. See, I don't think their relationship was ever romantic or sexual in nature. I think it was just pure admiration and love for each other.
Mm.
Because even in the end, like when he separates them, like it's just a moment of like it's just like they put their foreheads together and it's just like the moment of like, this is the end. I need you to know.
Yeah, but they do call each other like my Jack, my Furiosa.
Yes. Yeah, but I think that's more apocalypse languaging in like I think it, or it's like their internal languaging, like, and maybe it was romantic, but like it's kind of like the relationship in Pacific Rim to me.
Seen.
Okay, which it's so weird that that's the movie that like the two main characters are of opposite sex and are deeply bonded and don't fall in love.
There should have been a fucking scene in the robot.
No, there shouldn't have. It would have made the movie worse.
There should have been a scene where they
also
fuck.
Good to know that you haven't seen it. I'll add it to the list.
There should be a scene where they're like drifting or whatever and they can feel each other fucking each other.
Anyway.
It's an endless loop of penetrating and being penetrated by yourself.
Anyway,
I would write it.
I have so many thoughts about this movie, and I can't. I'm not. This is a movie that we could do 4 episodes on.
Oh yeah, easily.
And like, not necessarily run out of things to say, but like, we could pick apart each. We hypothetically could do, if we combined 3 and 4, we could do like an episode on each story. But no, I would love to do a Redux episode of this, not as a like, I think this episode's bad. Like, I think we've done okay at like expressing our thoughts on this, or at least at our current levels. But like, I would love to have more room to expand.
Mm.
And I would love to like have room to expand where we don't have to explain the plot.
Yeah.
Cause that's another thing too, that like is dragging, is like just the nature of these episodes is that we have found a formula, and maybe the formula will shift as we keep going, but like we have like they're very tied to like the story of the movie, and I would love to like expand outwardly.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is a movie, this movie is not to be like, I'm 14 and this is deep, but this movie's kind of deep. Like,
it's a story about grief. All the Mad Maxes are stories about grief and loss.
Yes.
I think it's I'm 14. I think that's just the thematic resonance of the film.
Maybe. Okay, sure. But it's equal parts like a story about grief and loss and really amazing, super dumb car chases.
And I
think it blends those two perfectly.
I think nothing about car chases means you can't have it be deep.
No,
I think
agree.
It's just the idea that the action movie is by its nature undeep, but an action movie can be deep.
I agree. I'm probably not wording it correctly, but no, I agree. I mean, dude, we've been recording for 2 hours. We can go on for more, but I know that you got to get out and I got a mic.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's a beautiful tale of grief and loss and insanity at the end of the world with some real hot moms in it. What more could you want?
I
wish she would take me out with her sniper rifle. Wink.
This movie on its own, if Fury Road didn't exist, this movie's a 10. Yep. This movie fucking rips and it's beautiful and it makes you feel, and I love
every second of it. I'm gonna say it's a 10 because I could have two things be 10s.
Sure. I think because Fury Road exists, this is a 9, because I know what a 10, like what a Mad Max George Miller 10 looks like, and this doesn't quite reach that caliber, which is not an insult of the movie. It is like, yeah. Anyway, I love this movie. Thank you so much for showing it to me. Do you want to do socials?
Anything to bring beautiful MILFs into your life, which is the main criteria I choose my movies on. I can do socials. We got Two Men Movie Podcast on Instagram. I guess TikTok's back, but I'm not touching it. That's our Gmail, twomenmoviepodcast@gmail.com. If you want to send us your Mad Max fan fictions or love letters, you know, maybe feel up to it. You can find us on YouTube at Two Men and a Movie Podcast. We started putting up shorts there if you're not following them on our Instagram. You can follow me in my eternal quest on the Fury Road, looking for some cool philosophies delivered by beautiful toga-wearing women carrying peaches, the greatest of fruits, at Midwest_magician.
For like Spotify and other places you get podcasts, it's the same as the YouTube. It's Two Men and a Movie Podcast. My socials are on Instagram and TikTok, and I may expand into... I got a lemonade. I've never touched it. I may try it. We'll see. But it's harrisonpool.com. POOLEDOTCOM. harrisonpool.com. Thank you so much to Tristan Hostetter for our theme music. Thank you guys for listening. Go watch this movie. The last two movies not Atomic Blonde, Godzilla, three of these four movies have entered my echelon of like, you need to watch these movies for this podcast.
Yeah, it's because we've hit the part of the list on my phone where I put down movies I liked, like really, really liked, not just movies that I've seen and you haven't. And I'm like, I shouldn't have to watch this and Harrison hasn't seen it. That's unfair to me as a person. There's some real stinkers on my list.
Awesome. All right. Thank you so much for listening. Hugs can't and wait kisses. To hear those.
Well, kisses. I'm hugging you. You can only hear my kisses.
This is Matthew and Harrison's Two Men in a Movie. It's not what it sounds like.